Morning. Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day has been an institution for a little over 100 years in the United States. One of my heroes in history, Will Rogers. Will was laid back and saw humor and goodness in everything, but when they made Mother's Day an official day, it made him mad. He said, Mama gives you 365 days a year, you're going to give her one day, aren't you something? And I can see his point. We should honor our mothers every day. But I don't think it's bad to have a special day honoring our mothers. I know I had a great mom, and I've been married to the best mom in the world for 60 years, so it's a good thing. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. Years ago, at our annual veterinary conference in Nashville, our continuing education seminar, our principal speaker was a veterinarian named Dr. Bob Knowles from Florida. I remember it well because I had to introduce him, and I was so awe-stricken by the man that I had a hard time introducing him. He spoke to us for 2 or 3 days on various topics. He could run circles around most of us with his knowledge and his techniques. So we were impressed. But the central theme of his talks was this: I'm ready to change everything I do tomorrow if you'll show me a better way. And I remember thinking at the time, that's a pretty good lesson. I need to learn that lesson. I know for myself, I still need some changes. I'm 80 years old. I know you didn't think I was near that old, but I am, and I thought I'd be good by now, and I thought I'd be smart by now, and neither one has happened. I'm still working on changes in my life. The need to change. First, I've got to recognize the need to change. This recognition can be dramatic, and the decision can be easy. If I sit down on a hot stove, it doesn't take me long to realize I need to make a change. That's an easy one. Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus was stricken blind. That was pretty dramatic. He realized real fast that he needed to make a change. It's not always that simple, not always that easy, is it? You remember the story of King David. We've all heard it a lot, but we need to hear it again. You know what David did? I've said a lot of times I've run with some rough characters in my life, and I never knew anybody that did what David did. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, a man named Nathan came to him. And he told him about this rich man that had a lot of flocks of sheep and goats. But he wanted to have a party, and he needed a lamb to kill. So he went over to his neighbors that had this little pet ewe lamb and stole it and killed it and served it to his guests. You recall how King David became indignant and angry and demanded that justice be meted out to this scoundrel that would do this. And you remember what Nathan said. You the man, Nathan. You the man, David. You the one did it. Now, are you going to sit there and tell me that David hadn't realized all the time he was plotting to get Bathsheba, when he made her pregnant, then when he tried to pass it off on her husband, and then finally put the man in battle and caused the troops to pull back so that he'd be killed? Are you trying to tell me that he didn't know that that was wrong? That he didn't know that what he was doing was wrong, and yet when Nathan confronted him, big surprise. No, it wasn't. That's called rationalizing, isn't it? We all know how we do that, don't we? You've heard my story about my alcoholism and my career in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm going to tell it to you again. I went in my first AA meeting in August of 1983. I went in because my wife and my friends and the guys I was singing with were starting to talk ugly about my drinking. So I went to AA to prove them wrong. I knew that when all those people in there saw what a fine, upstanding man I was, that we'll realize what a foolish idea this was, and I go on my merry way. Well, I stayed in AA for a little over 2 years. I worked on everybody's problems but mine. I let it be known that I was the expert in this area. I was a little bit alcoholic, maybe, but not like the rest of these poor souls in there. And I felt sorry for them and tried to help them. You know what happened? I messed up. Not only did I end up locked up in the crazy house, I ended up locked up on the third floor in the violent ward behind three closed doors where you had to buzz three doors to get in to even visit with me. I became willing to change at that point. It got serious now. I realized this thing is out to kill me. So I finally admitted it, but it took me a while to admit that this is a bad thing. Thankfully, to the good Lord and people around me, that was 30 years ago. And I'm happy and free today and so grateful to the Lord for that. It's not always that simple. I had occasion to find out about a preacher. I didn't know him personally, but all my folks knew him, and he knew my people and had been on a lectureship conducted by my brother-in-law. He got in a real bind. Let's see how much I want to tell you about it. He got into a sexual mess. And because of this, he lost his wife and family. He lost the church where he was preaching. He was the head of a school of preaching. He lost that. He ended up down here at Smyrna in somebody's back room. Object of charity. I felt sorry for the man. I called him on the phone. I told him, I said, you know this one and that one in my family. You don't know me. Here's my experience. You can make it back. And I'm willing to help you any way I can. To my astonishment, the man defended himself. Wasn't his fault. It was his wife's fault. After a while, I said, this conversation is over, and hung the phone up on the man. He died a few years later. As far as I know, the man never changed, never repented, never admitted he was wrong. So this admitting that we need to change is not always that easy and not always that dramatic, is it? We have a hard time doing it. I'll admit that we sometimes see people that are quick to change. The head of our agency, when I worked for the government, was a man who I firmly believe if I went in and said, Doctor, I believe the earth is flat, he'd agree with me. He would agree with any point you took. You know, James 1:8 says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And you've been teaching in Ephesians on Sunday morning. In Ephesians 4, it says we're not to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. So I'm not advocating that these changes should be flighty or simple. They should be thought through, prayed about, and deliberated about. Who needs changes? Do congregations need changing? Well, I think they do. As you know, Rose and I grew up in the ultra-conservative congregations in West Tennessee, where a lot of people still use the these and the thous. Not only did they use the these and the thous, but they thought it was wrong if you didn't use them, and if you didn't use them, you'd find yourself not being called on to lead a prayer. Maybe you haven't been there. That's about to fade away, thankfully. We were at a church last week, and one of the men led a prayer, and he used these. Now, that's fine. I've got no problem with that. What I have a problem with is congregations enforcing things that are traditions. Jesus said in Matthew, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And that's been done a lot. Years ago, we were going to one of the congregations in Springfield, and they had what they call a summer series. And I kind of enjoy those. I have a different speaker every Wednesday night. And the subject was change in the church, because a lot of these ultra-conservatives talk about these change agents. And they curl their lip up a little bit when they say it. You know, you've seen that. To my amazement and gratification, every speaker said some changes are needed in the church. Hey, amen. I like that. It was a good series. I dreaded it going into it, but it turned out to be a good series. We do have congregations that need changing. I don't know if you realize it or not, but most every congregation I know of, traditional churches, the agenda is set by the preacher and the head elder. Y'all all know what the head elder is. You've seen them. And it goes that way. And if you dare to vary from that point of view, you will find yourself ostracized in a hurry. We've heard a lot in the past in these churches about contending earnestly for the faith and marking those which cause division. We've had a lot of marking and a lot of contending, folks. Old Jerry Carmichael preached for us up at Ivy Point, and he said, mark those that cause division. He said, mark them, but yeah, then move on. And we've all seen the fact that they can't get off the dime on this. That's the whole thrust of their Christianity, is marking those that cause division and contending. Leroy Dedman talks about contentious for the faith. And he's right in that. I know two congregations right now that demand that the men serving the congregation at the Lord's table have coats and ties. One of them's got it in their bulletin: be sure you're dressed appropriately before you wait on the congregation. Some of y'all wouldn't fit in. There's another one that not only insists on it, they got their own coats and ties. So if you're not dressed, they'll dress you. I can take you to it right now and show it to you. That's kind of strange, because the Bible almost teaches the opposite. If any man come into the assembly with gay clothing, so forth and so on. So how we got to this dress code, didn't you talk about that this morning a little bit, David? A dress code, I think it's counter to what the Word of God tells me, isn't it? Now, I'm wearing a coat and tie because I was raised doing it. Now, I use the King James Version of the Bible because I was raised doing it. But that's not a commandment. That's a tradition, isn't it? Nearly all of us close our prayers with the word "in Jesus' name" or words to that effect. David, I believe you did. I do that. I was raised doing it. It's a good thing, but it's a custom. I don't believe he commanded me to do it. He commanded me to pray through Christ, but I'm not sure he commanded me. Y'all run me off after I say this, if you want to. I don't believe that he commanded that I go through this ritual of saying those words every time I have a prayer. I pray 15 or 20 times a day. I bet most of you do too. And I don't ever say "in Jesus' name." I think the Lord knows I'm praying through Christ. So many traditions have been incorporated. I've said so many times, nothing wrong with tradition. We sit in the same spot every time. I don't know why we do that. Y'all do. Look here. Y'all do too. It's just the way we are. We're creatures of habit. The problem comes when we start enforcing these traditions in the Lord's church. We got to be careful about that. Of course, the bird that's doing it, he would contend that he ain't doing it. It's not tradition. It's God's will. But he can't show it to me. And when he can't show it to me, we were talking this morning about this in Sunday school, and I thought, man, that, that fits in with what I want to say. I'm not as good as you are at saying it, but we've been real guilty of ostracizing those who have slight little differences of opinion. One that I get in trouble with all the time, and I get run off everywhere I go. Y'all just hadn't found out about me yet. But this age of the earth, when Rose and I were young, there were opinions all over the place concerning the age of the earth. A lot of my dear friends, preachers and all, believe in a young earth of 6,000 years, where Usher went back and counted up all the genealogies and it come out 6,000 years. Dr. Lightfoot followed him and said, he put down October the 26th something B.C. was the exact, he knew the exact date, and I think it's 9:00 in the morning. He had it down pretty good. I don't think we know. I have a tendency to believe that the earth is pretty old, but the point I'm trying to make is it's my opinion, and that's all it is. And you're welcome to yours. But I find in a lot of the congregations where I attend, your opinion is not any good, especially if you doubt this 6,000-year business. We were at Waynesboro, Tennessee. I want to tell you about this because it's dear to my heart. We were at Waynesboro, Tennessee last week. We were there. We lived there and worshiped there and worked there in the 70s. And loved every minute of it and go back every time we can. I'll tell you a little bit about the history. After we left and moved up here, they had trouble at the church at Waynesboro. Now, 5 miles out on the highway was a little congregation called Wayne Furnace. A little wide spot road, a little big building, had 15, 20 members. Well, when Waynesboro congregation had some troubles, a lot of these people swarmed and started going out to Wayne Furnace. As a result, it became a pretty substantial, big-sized congregation. Built a new building, full-time preacher, the whole bit. In other words, Waynesboro lost, Wayne Furnace gained. Now, knowing what I know, congregations I've seen throughout my life, this usually would cause resentment and jealousy. Guess who the preacher was last Sunday at Waynesboro at their meeting? The young man that preaches out at Wayne Furnace. Not a bit of, you know what I think they think? I think we're all in this business together trying to save souls. I believe they think that's what it's about. I'm seeing protecting turf, guarding turf, more than I am saving souls. I've seen a lot of contending and marking, but I've seen less interest in saving souls. I'm afraid in lots of congregations, not this one, I'm not accusing you of this. I could accuse you of other things, but not this. Our business is saving souls. And that's pure and simple. And when we start into the turf wars, we're in a mess. And I'm seeing it all over the country. And I'm sorry to say, I'm seeing it most in the Bible Belt, in the Nashville Basin, the place where we ought to be the strongest. And I'm seeing that an awful lot. And I'm sorry, it's a pet peeve of mine. I'm beating on this dead horse a little bit, but I feel real strongly about it. Now, leaving the congregations are made up of individuals. Do you need to change? Do I need to change? Well, yeah, like I said, I'm 80. I thought I'd have been in a better spot when I was a young man. I get good and I get smart the time I get old. It hadn't happened. I don't believe it's going to. I still need to change. I could list you a long bunch of things that I need to change on. Step one in Alcoholics Anonymous said we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. You've got to identify the problem first. What do you need to change? I'm too fat. I went to the doctor and they told me they wanted me to get in shape. And I said, round is a shape. My daddy was on Slim Fast. He said it's better with ice cream in it. It is too. Lots of things I need to change. I've had a tendency most of my life, I'll give you a couple of them, to be, look on the negative. I could always find the negative. If I had to search through a whole pile of positives, I could find the negatives. I'm getting better at it. I can see some improvement. I got a long, long way to go, but I can see some improvement there. Many of these things I've had to do in a mechanical fashion. I've had to say, this is where I need to work on some things. Right here, Tom James, you're not good right here. You need to work on this one. Another one is resentment. My old Aunt Mary, if she got mad at a man, she'd say, I hope all his teeth fall out but one and he gets a toothache in it. I got a little of that in me. Rich and I was talking, you know, far from having a forgiving nature, I hope his house burns down and he's in it. You know, I have that tendency. I have to work on that. I have to pray for my enemies, and I'm not good at it, and I'm not making a lot of improvement about that. About as good as I've gotten is just leave him alone. I don't try to do him any harm. I don't wish him harm, but I don't want to be around him. So I'm making a little bit of progress there. Now, I told you about AA step one. Back on the ultra-conservative preachers again, they're a pet peeve of mine, no secret. If you need to seek expert help on the things that you need to change, don't be afraid to do it. If you've got a cancer, you're not going to mess around with the man at the garage, are you? You're going to go see a specialist, aren't you? If you've got a problem, you might need some expert help. I hear preachers making fun of groups, self-help groups that try to help alcohol and drug people, sex people. Knew a preacher's wife is a kleptomaniac. Oh, that's a good combination, isn't it? And you know that congregation was just as kind to that couple as they could be. She wasn't a mean woman. She would steal stupid stuff out of little old cheap costume jewelry out of Woolworths. And they tried to help her, protect her. We had one up at Springfield that would steal half gallons of ice cream out of Kroger's. How he got out with them, I don't know, but he did. People need some expert help on these things. Sometimes you can't confront these things that you need to change by yourself. Those of us that fight weight. Some of us, I had a friend who was a compulsive gambler. That's the one weakness I never had. I've had nearly all the others. But that's the one I never had. I was too poor and too stingy. But John lost a house gambling. Can you imagine? Believe it or not, there's a self-help group for those people. Don't be ashamed. I don't need to be ashamed to seek help. I am so proud of my years in Alcoholics Anonymous. I still got a long ways to go. I'm still not much. But I got a lot of help there, and some of the finest people I ever knew were there and would get up in the middle of the night to help you if you needed it. I want to stop before we talk about some other changes And I want to ask you, have you got anything that you want to say, some experiences you've had or folks you've known that needed a change, did get a change or didn't? I want to hear what you got to say about it. When I'm up here, I always learn more from you than you do me. Any thoughts? None of you need any changes, do you? I know it's kind of tough sometimes. Some of you here may not be Christians, and that can be a tough one. I've heard all kind of reasons why people were not willing to change. The most frequent I've heard when I've tried to study with people through the past years was, I just don't think I could live up to it, Tom. And I went, yeah, that's a given, isn't it? That's why the Lord died on the cross. Remember in Acts chapter 2, when old Peter stood up and said, "You, with wicked hands, you crucified God's Son." And all of a sudden, it hit those people what they had done. Now, I fully believe those people that had killed Christ, really, it hadn't hit them. They really had not realized the enormity of their sin and of their crime. Because you remember what they said? "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Anguish, scared to death. And you remember Peter told them what to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And I would say that to you today. If you need changes in your life, if you've never obeyed the gospel and you've never put on Christ and you're not a Christian, you sure do need a change. One of my hunting buddies, he's gone now, Lloyd Neville, he and I were hunting one time. He was attending church with us, and he said, "Tom, I've been going to the Baptist church all my life. I was baptized as a kid. Do you think they'd let me go to church up there?" And I said, "Well, nobody better stand at the door and bar you. As long as I'm big as I am, I'm not going to have it. But you need to be sure of this thing." A lot of us were immersed and then realized later on that something was amiss. It happened to me. I was baptized at 11 because some more boys wanted to go and be baptized. And I said, "Yeah, I believe I'll go along too." And I did. Later on, I realized I was wrong. And my preacher and I were fishing in Stewart County. And I told him about it. And I said, "I want to be baptized." And he said, "I'm in the same shape you're in. I want you to baptize me too." So we just baptized each other there on that fishing trip, and I felt good about it ever since. You may be in that spot. You may be a Christian, but you may have gotten yourself in a shape that you need to rededicate things. You need to be making some changes. You need to be willing to change. My question is, are you willing to change, whatever the case? Let's sing, David.
Yeah.
back to us this morning, and she wants this group to pray for her. She's had a lot of problems, health problems and otherwise, and she just needs to be encouraged and needs the support and the strength of this fine group here. John Edwards, how about leading us in prayer for this woman?
Dear God, thank you for this day and the many blessings you bless us with. Thank you for giving us this time to come together and worship you and just grow closer together. Thank you this morning for one of your souls coming back and just asking for the prayers. Please be with her as long as you can, Lord. Lord, please be with all of us as we go through the week and help us just to take what we've learned today and
it is really great to see Linda here this morning. She has really been through a lot, and she's still struggling, as you can see. And she has a way to get to church. She brought the MTA bus this morning, and so she says she's going to be probably able to be here more and more with us as she feels better. And Linda, you've been in our prayers, constant prayers, and we are so grateful that you're here this morning. We're also we're grateful to have Courtney back with us from college for 2 weeks until she goes to Scotland. So she's going to be spending 6 weeks in Scotland studying abroad, and then she'll have Then she'll have one more year of college. But we're certainly glad to have her with us this morning, and along with all of you and some other visitors that we have today. A couple of things that we need to mention. The first one is, and I'll just read this. I have no idea what it is. Thanks, Maddox. Did you write this? You did? Okay. So thank you so much for your hard work yesterday at the Mary Marketplace. We heard wonderful compliments all day long. You made me very happy to say that's my church out there. Thanks again, Emily Hayes. I don't know if you were able to spend any time there yesterday, but it was a gorgeous day, and we raised over $400 for our camp this summer, and it was just a good time of fellowship. Thanks to those, Judy and others, who organized that and were there all day. Allery making the great cookies. Thank you. And Allery with her special T-shirt that she wore yesterday. She'll have to show everyone the T-shirt she made. It was really great. But it was a great way to fellowship, but also to help out Emily in the Mary Marketplace, but also to get our Reach program the name out there, and just so that people know kind of something that's going on in their community. Today is a very special day. Other than being Mother's Day, we're celebrating Mother's Day tonight by the men all cooking for the ladies tonight. If you're not a mother or don't have a child that goes to church here, you're still welcome to join us. Even other men are welcome to be here. It's just a church dinner, but we're going to honor our mothers with some awesome food. I don't know if you have been here the last couple of years. It just keeps getting better and better and better. And it's almost like become a competition between Chef and Chris and Bubba as to who can make the best meal. And so I'm looking forward to sampling it and seeing how it. And there's going to be a quality hash brown casserole too. So just check out that hash brown casserole. I'm making hash brown casserole. So if you're not cooking as one of our men, if you could bring drinks, stop and pick up a dessert or. Yeah, stop and pick up a dessert. Don't try to make one. Just stop and pick one up at Kroger or somewhere to have that tonight. After we eat tonight, we'll also have a time of devotion. We'll mostly spend some time singing together, so we would love for you to stay and join us in that. On Saturday, May the 14th, there'll be a shower here at the building for... Is it at the building? It's at the Chocolate Covered Strawberry, whatever in the world that is. I think it's a ladies' restaurant of some sort. Anyway, men are not invited. That's all I know. So They'll be having it there, and that information is in the bulletin, but it says Sunday, May 14th, but it is actually Saturday, May the 14th. So don't get confused and show up on Sunday, May 14th, since that's not an actual day. And it's you'll be the only one of our group there if you show up on Sunday. On the 15th, we will be having a potluck honoring all of our seniors. We'll be honoring Yasmin and Kelsey and also Jess as they have graduated. Is that right? Those three? And so we want you to join us for that special day honoring our seniors. Any other announcements that need to be made? Kristen, hello. Good to have you back. Sean, hey. Sean looks, he has a smile on his face today. What's the deal? I don't know. Johnny, any details about today that we need to know? Okay, we're going to start meeting around here about 3 to get set up, cooking, and get everything ready by. It seems like that's enough time, but we're always like scrounging and rushing around at the last minute trying to get things ready. Eric, of course, is in charge of decorations, and he's not here today. So, you know, I'm totally shocked by that. So he actually told me that Ernest was going to be in charge of decorations. So good job, Ernest. All right, any other announcements? Yes. Thanks for that. Anyone else update sick or have one to add? Okay, let's bow in prayer and as we close. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. We're grateful to have had the opportunity to fellowship together. Grateful to have the opportunity, Father, to think about some things that would help us in our spiritual lives, as Tom has brought us these thoughts about change in our lives. We pray, Father, that we would always be tender and we would always be soft. And we would always be open to your hand working in our life. That we would hold firm, Father, on the truths of your word. And hold firm, Father, on the moral things that you would have us, the people you would have us to be. But, Father, we would always hope that we could be molded and we could be changed and have a tender heart. I thank you, Father, for Tom and for the example that he is to me personally, and I know to all of us, as he has been through so many experiences in his life and willing to share those with us and to give us a word, Father, of experience and wisdom that we can take into our lives and we can seek to do better. We know, Father, we're all imperfect and we all struggle with sin, and we all struggle with living in this world. And we receive such encouragement, Father, from the examples of others and from the encouragement we get from our friends here and our family here at Echo Hills and other congregations. I thank you, Father, for Linda Allen and for her being here today, for the example that she is to us of determination and of willpower to be able to go through the things that she's been through and still, Father, have the desire to be here with this church family. And I thank you, Father, for her. I can ask for her continued healing, for her continued improvement, Father, in her health. We pray, Father, for James as he has found this out this news, and we pray that you would just bless him. We pray that you would heal him of this problem, Father, that there wouldn't be any continued pain, any problems from what they found. We pray, Father, that you would give him the wisdom to be able to know what to do in the next couple weeks, and also give him comfort. Father, thank you for the opportunities we have to serve, and we pray that you would continue to give us opportunities to serve you in this world, especially through your church and through your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for our mothers, for the mothers of our children that have dedicated themselves, Father, to a life of service, to a life of love to their children. And we pray that you would just continue to bless them, continue to watch over them, and help us today as many of us have memories of our mothers, and we remember and we think about the good times that we had with our mothers who have gone on, and we pray that you would allow those memories to give us encouragement. Thank you, Father, for your Son Jesus and for all that he's done, and I pray this prayer in his name. Amen.